to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter number 3, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 this evening. I mentioned this morning, we talked quite a bit of time about whether or not we love the Lord the way we should, and tonight's not really a second part, but it's one of the reasons why we do not love the Lord many times the way we should is because we're in love with something else. And you say, well, what else could you be in love with? And I know it might be kind of hard to hear, but many times people are not in love with the Lord the way they should be is because they're in love with self and they're in love with themselves. And tonight we're going to look at this topic about dealing with self. Many times people are filled up with themselves. They're prideful. It's all about them. It's all about what they can accomplish, all about what matters to them and how their life revolves around them. And in the passage of scripture tonight, we're going to look at in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we're going to look at this idea of dealing with self and take a deep look. You say, well, Pastor, this doesn't apply to me at all. Well, then it's something that's good you can learn about to tell somebody else about. But this is something that many times we have struggled with. Different individuals have struggled with this. And I think as a problem that is really coming on the rise in our generations that are coming, especially even in my generation. There was a poll taken recently, I think it's the ages of 18 to 21, and they said, what is your goals in life? And the number one goal was, anybody got a guess? Money, to make money. 81% of people said, my goal in life is to be rich, not make money to survive, but just to be rich. And their secondary goal for over 50% of the young people was to be famous. They wanted to make a lot of money and they wanted a lot of people to know about it. So, well, if the government knows about the fact you're making a lot of money, they're going to take it away anyway. So, what's the sense of making it? So, their goal in life was to be rich and for everyone to know about it. Paul here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tells us in verse number 1, this know also. And so this, when you mean know also, know what else also? Well, he's instructing them in chapter number 2 about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's instructing them about them being a disciple. He's instructing them about all different things that are helping them in their Christian walk, talking about those that God can use. And chapter 2, 22 talks about fleeing youthful lusts and to follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And I guess keeps on going, but it comes to chapter 3, verse number 1, and he says, this know also. This is something else I want you to know, Timothy. This is something else that God wants us to know from his word, that in the last days, now what are they talking about the last days? They're referring to the fact that the last days before Christ will return. And many people believe today that we're living in those last days. And you see here a picture of some of the way some people behave. It says, but in the last days, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. This word perilous is referring to a time of extreme threat and danger. Then he begins to give a description of what it's going to be like. And I see this in our world that we live in today. He says, for men shall be lovers of them their own selves, so that they love themselves. So they love themselves more than they love God. And that's where we live in today. Many times, I don't want to serve God because I don't like the way I'm going to have to change. I don't like change. When you go to a yard sale, and maybe sometimes they have these community yard sales, and you go out there, and I think one of the most things that you see is use exercise equipment. Why is that? People don't like change. And it's because, and probably some of us have at our house and we use it as clothes racks and coat racks. And you're laughing because you might have a piece of that there. But if not, you see people are trying to sell things. And why are they trying to sell is because they don't like what they have to do to change and they like themselves the way they are. And that's why you use this word, and it begins with lovers of them own self. And tonight I want to give a message and a lesson to help us understand that when we love ourselves, there's problems that come with it. There's issues that will happen. And also at the end, spend a few minutes on talking about how not to be a lover of oneself. It says, so let's look at some of these things that happens. When you love oneself, it means that you're going to be covetous. You're going to be a boaster. Someone's proud of themselves, they're going to have no problem telling other people about it. Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, Now, I think, I know some people will look at that and say, well, that's talking about the homosexual movement. But if you study out those words, it's actually referring that they're lacking the affection that would naturally come of a mother to its child. I mean, in our generations, in the last 30 or 40 years, how many times have we thought and heard about mothers that are willing to just get rid of their children, even put them to death, you know, just throw them in a throwaway baby? That's what they're talking about, is when they're full themselves. And even when we think of the abortion industry, they're willing to put, you know, they don't want their thinking, their love with who they are. They don't want anything to change or affect their little circle. Let's keep on going. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, and this, an incontinent is referring to one that is unrestrained or uncontrolled, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They hate people that don't live for themselves and that they live for a higher cause and a higher reason. They don't understand it. Verse number 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It's that idea that, you know what, I'm going to care more about what makes me feel good than I am going to care about a God that might make me not feel good. And then verse number 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And it says, from such turn away. Let's ask God's help tonight in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I know the message tonight may be something that is a little bit difficult to hear and even sometimes difficult to apply to our lives. It'd be easy for us to say, I know this is somebody else's problem. But Lord, help us to look at it and judge ourselves when we're asking ourselves this question today. Do I love the Lord the way I should? Or do I love myself too much because of my love for me is stopping me to love him the way I could? Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. Help them, Lord, from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think about this idea of dealing with self, and I've been praying and kind of working through how to present it in a way that would be helpful. I guess, first of all, more than anything, it's not good for you. It's a bad thing. You see that list, the things that are there, that is what, when you allow sin into your heart, when you allow sin into your life, when you care more about yourself than you do about the things of God, these are the fruits, these are the labors of it. When you become self-centered, when everything is about you and you become prideful, you are opening yourself up to a lot of things that are really bad. You look at that and say, well, just because I want to care more about myself doesn't mean that I don't care about everybody else. But that's the end of it. Those are the fruits of it. If you start caring and loving yourself, then you're really not going to care how you treat other people as long as you're getting your way. And this sin is not something that is new. In my mind, it may have been the first sin ever committed. And when was, you know, people think, okay, Eve. And I think Eve, but if you go back to Lucifer, and I know he is a created being, you know, this and that, but he chose the sin. In his mind, he thought so highly of himself, he says, I am going to exalt myself above God. He wasn't happy being with the exalted cherubim and the number one cherubim in all of heaven. He wasn't happy with that. He thought that he deserved more. He thought he deserved better. And he lifted himself up, and because of that, he fell. God cast him down. But then you even do think about the first sin that happened in mankind. And you know, some people can look at different things and you can argue and this and that. But one of the things that Eve, when she looked at she was tempted. What was the temptation? Oh, no. Don't listen to God. You deserve better than what God's offering you. God has a plan for you, but his plan is not worthy of you. Think about what it says in Genesis chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and did eat. So you think about it. What is that? She saw something and she believed something that it was, she should deserve this. Because of who, doesn't matter what God said, doesn't matter what God commanded, she should deserve it. And then, you know, then she gave to her husband and she ate. And then some men say, well, what choice did they have? You know, there was no other women around. He was stuck with Eve. So, you know, it's like Eve asking Adam the question this morning, do you love me? He's like, of course, there is nobody else. I have to love you. Now I could have said that about Adam too. But, you know, it's the idea here that there's a thought here. She thought she was deserved more than what God gave her. She thought it was. I deserve to have my eyes open. I deserve to be as a God. And she was tricked into loving herself more than what the things God gave her. You think about it. It begins with men being lovers of themselves. And then there's a description of what that really means in these words. And we're going to look at some of these words. But before we get there, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, some very famous verses. Remember how the lawyer came to Jesus and was asking him what the greatest commandment was. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the Lord is kind of narrowing it down and says, if you want to be right with God, and if you want to follow all the laws and you want to follow all the commandments and follow all the prophets, you love the Lord your God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and then you treat your neighbor as thyself. And he says, on these two commandments. So what are you getting at? Nowhere does it say that we have to love ourselves. Nowhere does it say that we are commanded to love ourselves. Why is that? Because we already do. We already have a high opinion of ourselves many times. Well, then people's like, what about people with low self-esteem? Well, the people with low self-esteem, they're in a sense worshiping that. They're not giving themselves over to the Lord, and they're saying, you know, believing what God has said about His Word and God about themselves through God and through His Word, and that God has given them. It's about them also. Just as a person who is high on themselves, only concerned about themselves and only worried about themselves, it's just as like another individual that will watch TV and see that they're sick, and he's talking about sickness and like, I have that and I have that and I have that. It's because of the fact that they're it's all about them. God didn't create us to be like that. God didn't save us to be like that. He says in these verses, the two goals we need to have in love is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, look, these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. He didn't have to tell us to love ourselves because many times that's something we struggle with and fight with. And I am not picking on any individual tonight. I want you to understand that if our focus is us and ourselves, it's not going to end up good. It's going to end up like these verses. So as we look at that, I want you to understand a couple things. First thing I want you to think about is self is unfulfilling. Point number one is self is unfulfilling. When you look at the verse, it says in verse number two, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Now, we are very fast to forget how good God has been to us. We are very fast to forget all the wonderful blessings that we have. We look at things and we desire more. We look at things and we get something and then we start looking around for the next thing. Of course, that's not all of us. I understand that. But a person who is a lover of themselves, once they receive one thing, they're going to look for the next thing. You say, Pastor, that is normal, that is natural. And I will agree with you, that is normal and that's natural. But it's also natural to love yourselves. And the Bible says that that's when perilous times are going to come, when people are lovers of themselves. And they're not satisfied. They're not content. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 through 17, the horse leech have two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb and the earth that is not filled with water and the fire say, if not, it is enough. The eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pluck it out and the young eagles shall eat. If a person is a lover of themselves and a person is interested in only them, they will never be satisfied with what they have. They'll always want something else. They'll always want more. I want this a little bit more. Even when you have a blessing. You know, sometimes, and I think about stories and hear stories, and even in my own life, I turn around and see somebody give a person a gift, and it's exciting, they're excited for it, but then they want something that goes along with it, or they want something more, they become expectant of it. And that's why I see, first of all, self is unfulfilling. If you are a person who is a lover of self and someone is, if you're not going to deal with your flesh, you're going to be a person who is also not content. You're going to be a person who is covetous. The next thing, not only is self unfulfilling, self is unthankful. You read what it says in verse number 2. It says, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. This is a person who is only concerned about themselves. This is what's going to come of that. And this is something that they will even do and not realize that they're doing it. And then it says, unthankful. Unthankful. I don't know about you, but I think we live in a generation where lots of people are not thankful anymore. You don't hear thank you that often anymore. From young and old, they become expectant of it. And I tell you that the Bible tells us that we should enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful in him and bless his name. He says, well, that's a way that we should be thankful unto him. Yes, but we should also be thankful for the things that are provided around us. We should be thankful people. I'm not saying this so you can, people can just turn around and say, well, thank you. It should come from a heart. But a person who is self-absorbed and a person who is lovers of them own selves, they're going to come to the spot and they're going to say, well, I was supposed to have that and I was supposed to get that. I don't have to be thankful. That sounds a lot like people in our country, doesn't it? Sounds a lot like people sometimes in our churches. You were supposed to do that, so why should I be thankful? We are living a generation of ingratitude. I heard a story once, and ladies, if you didn't like my comment before, you'll like this one. I heard a preacher tell the story once about a husband that was complaining about his wife. And he complained and complained. The preacher got tired of hearing it. He says, I can help you. And he says, okay, how can you help me? He says, will you come with me? He came with him and took him to the bathroom and showed him the mirror. And he says, you see what I'm looking at? And he says, yes. He says, that's what your wife sees every day. You should go to the altar and thank God that someone was willing to marry you when you look like that. See, we have something to be thankful for, so we should be glad that we're here. I mean, think about it. God saved us. When we take our eyes off of self and put them on the Lord and what he's done for us, it comes out of a heart of gratitude that we realize that everything we have, it comes from the Lord, and we're very thankful for him, and we're thankful for the people that he uses to help provide those things. Many times, we don't have that very much anymore. The days where people said thank you and were excited and would write thank you notes, they seem like they're coming to an end. Third thing I want you to see, not only is it unfulfilling, and you don't want to live a life that's unfulfilling. You don't want to live a life that is always coveting more and always wanting more. That's not a way to live. God desires that we have contentment. Godliness of contentment is great gain. That a life of contentment is one that does not have to have the next thing to be satisfied. They find satisfaction in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the way he designed us to live. But also, self is unthankful. Next one I want you to think about is self is unloving. When we go back to that verse that's found in verse number 3, it says, without natural affection. As I mentioned to you earlier, that natural affection is referring to a love a mama might have for its newborn child. If we love and care so much about ourselves, we will not have the time to love and care for those that God has put into our lives. If we are so focused on me, guess what? We're not going to have the time to love and care for those that God has brought into our lives. God brings people into our lives so we can demonstrate the love of Christ to them. God brings people into our lives. Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's wife, maybe it's children, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's someone who we work with, maybe it's somebody in your Sunday school class, maybe it's someone who it means that you have to go out of your way to be a blessing and a help to them, because that's the way God designed it. But if you are self-absorbed or you're a lover of your own self, you're never going to be willing to step away from your comfort zone because you're so worried about you that you can turn and help and love someone the way that God desires for you to love them. You know, this morning we talked about, do you love God the way that you're supposed to love him? And we wanted to make it a heartfelt message, a tender message where God would point to your heart and say, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than that sin that's in your life? Do you love me enough to do it my way and to follow after me? Do you really love me? Because he's saying here that I want you to love others. He tells us that he desires that we love one another. He tells us that You think about it. In the Word of God, it talks about how if we give a cup of cold water in His name, that we'll be blessed. God doesn't need a cold water from us. He doesn't. But God might bring someone into your life that you can offer and extend some type of kindness and some type of love and some type of friendship to. That is the way that you're showing that you love the Lord, because you're willing to not be about you, but willing to give of yourself, to let someone else go first. Not say, of course, when it's dinner time, everybody wants to be first in line. That's what self will tell you. But it's when you're kind and generous to others. Let's look at the next thing. Not only is it unable to love like you should, self is unloving, self is unrestrained. Look what it says here, continuing in verse number 3. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That word incontinent is talking about uncontrollable. And I think that we live in a day time where it seems like emotions and self, if left to themselves, will be unrestrained. Unrestrained. You think about today, sometimes children, if they are left to themselves, what are they? They are unrestrained. How many times have we been in the grocery store and we see a child that is being unrestrained? They can do whatever they want. And you feel like, hey, I'll volunteer to take care of that kid for about 5 minutes because I will restrain them one way or another. So, but that's the day we live in. You see what can happen if you just let your child go crazy and go wild? They turn out looking like Christian, acting like Christian. Oh, sorry. They turn out acting. You all know I wanted to say Andrew, but I didn't want to embarrass him. So it's unrestrained. If a child is left to themselves, what's going to happen? It's going to bring shame to their mother. So if we let our flesh remain unrestrained, what's going to happen? You're going to go out and you're going to act like a spoiled brat child. You say, does that happen? Yes. There's adults that happen that act like that, that they're not restrained because they have become lovers of themselves. You don't want to be like that. But when you become covetous and become unfulfilled with your life and become unthankful and you come to the point where you cannot love and care about others, it all becomes about me. And I don't care what I say. I don't care how I act. This is what my flesh wants. This is what I'm going to say. No matter whoever it offends, unrestrained by principles. You know, if you don't live by principles, it's all good about whatever feels good, does it? We see the end of that and where that can go to. Also, unrestrained by pleasures. You continue on when it says here, pleasures, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know, I was very kindly met by multiple church members tonight that reminded me the Steelers lost today. Thank you so much. Today, for you non-football fans, it's the playoffs and the Steelers play today. Normally, I do not watch the football game between churches, but I worked pretty hard this week to get it ready for tonight. And just because I knew if I came in, people would tell me who won and lost. So we started about 3:15, watched it to 4:30. Yes, the Steelers did lose. Do I enjoy watching the Steelers? I do. Some of you think that's stupid. That's great. I'm sure some of the stuff you do, I think is stupid too, but that's okay. But it's a pleasure, something I enjoy doing. But you know what? I'm not going to skip church to go do something I want to do. I'm not going to skip church to do a pleasure that I want to do. I'm definitely not going to skip church to go watch grown men that get paid millions of dollars not kneel at the national anthem. That's for sure. But, you know, I enjoy watching football, and I know some of you guys don't do that. And that's fine, but there's a level there. Does God mind if we do something that we enjoy? I don't think He minds. But when we allow that pleasure become something we love more than we love God, that's when we're filled with self. And that's what we got to be careful with. Unrestrained parents, unrestrained by principles, unrestrained by pleasures. See, this is what a selfish, self-absorbed person is going to look like. We don't want this. This is what's going to stop us from loving God the way we're supposed to. Not only do we see that they're unfulfilled and unthankful and unloving and unrestrained, last but not least, they're ungodly. Look what it says in verse number 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, you can go to church and not even be a Christian. A person walking into a church does not make them a Christian. If that was the case, if a person walked into a garage, that would make them a car. It just doesn't happen the way that would make them a mechanic. It just doesn't happen. That's not what makes a Christian. But a person who even a Christian who is not living for the Lord and is living for themselves and is about, hey, it's my way, it's the way I want it, it's myself, it's my pleasures, it's my desires above more than what God wants, that person is a person that can even look godly. But you know what they're doing? They're denying the power that's within. They're denying what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in their hearts and their lives. So those are five things. And when I look at this and I ask myself this question this week, do I love God the way I should? What is one of the number one reasons why people do not love God the way they should? And I think it comes to this spot is because we love ourselves too much. Maybe not all of us, but many of us should look at this and say, is the reason why I don't love God is because I love what the world can do for me or because I like the sin that I have in my life? Those things are self things. Or is it because of the fact that I want to do things my way? I think a lot of people would sign up for the Christian life the way they want it done. Everybody should dress the way I dress. Everybody should like the music I like, and everybody should do this. It's all about what I want. Now, there's biblical principles, and there's things that are right, and there are things that are wrong, but the Christian life is all about what the Lord wants, not about what I want. When people are interested in what I can get instead of what I can do for the Lord, that's when we need to be careful about being lovers of our own selves more than lovers of God. Okay, you say, so how in the world can you fight against this? Because this is a problem many people deal with. These are five just very quick things I want you to think about, and you can write them down if you like to. The first thing is how to deal with the flesh. Identify the problems of the flesh, or identify the problems you have with the flesh. You say, okay, Pastor, I see what you're saying here. I struggle with maybe being covetous. I struggle with loving people the way I should because it makes me feel like I have to get out of my comfort zone. There are areas in my life maybe that I'm unrestrained. There are areas where I feel like I'm a little bit of a hypocrite because I try to look godly, but I don't do the things I'm supposed to. How do I help? Number one is identify the issues. Identify the problems. Bible says in Psalms 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. He says, look, Lord, I need your help, because many times a person who is self-absorbed does not even realize it's a problem. Sometimes when we're preaching and teaching, there's certain messages that come and they're like, that has nothing to do with me. And the Holy Spirit comes and say, oh, really? What about this? And what about that? Remember how you make everybody do it your way, and if you don't get your way, you make everyone else unhappy? Isn't that being self-absorbed? So that's when the Holy Spirit comes and he points at things. And he says, what about this? What about that? And in this passage of scripture, in Psalms chapter 139, verse 23, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And we're asking God to reveal unto us our heart. We're asking God to reveal unto us our thoughts. And then when we have that, then we need to crucify it. He said, crucify it? Yes, we need to put it to death. It says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It means that we put things to death. We see these problems, we see these issues, and we stop it. And not only do we crucify it, we mortify it, and that means put it into the means that how it comes to us. Is mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conceptuous, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So we see the problems, we put an end to it, but then we also see those things that have affected us and those things that we bring into our lives that are causing us to be unfulfilled and unthankful and unloving and unrestrained and ungodly, and we keep those things out of our lives. We don't let it come into our lives anymore. So not only is it identify and crucify and mortify, is we need to fortify. You say, well, how do you fortify? Well, once you put it to death, the devil's going to try to bring it back. Once you even stop the inward flow, the devil's still going to do its best to get in. You've fortified your Christian life. How do you do that? Number one is you depend upon the Word of God. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 16 here. Very familiar passage of Scripture. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. What does that mean? That means it's a good thing. It's a gain to you. Well, how is it profitable? It's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine tells us how we're supposed to live. For reproof, tells us what we're doing wrong. For correction, how to get what we're doing wrong right. For instruction in righteousness, now how we're supposed to live after we get what's wrong right. This is how we're supposed to live. Go to the Word of God. Let Him teach and guide you. And then depend upon the Holy Spirit. You're going to fortify your life by becoming strong in the Word of God and then giving it over to Him, because fighting our flesh is something that we need God's help with. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. We're not going to be able to do it on our own. And we need to ask God and depend upon God and say, I can handle this. You can't. That God has made the Christian life codependent upon Him. Well, even more than codependent, completely dependent upon Him. He has made the Christian life to where you must depend upon Him if you want to have success. And if you want to have success dealing with this flesh and dealing with self, you need God's help. So tonight when you look at these passages of Scripture and these verses, this is what I believe. I know we could have chose all the words and looked at boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient parents. But when we become to the spot where we are concerned and consumed with ourselves and we become lovers of our own selves, this is the road that it leads down to. It's an unfilled life, that is an unthankful life, that is an unloving life, that is an unrestrained life, that is an ungodly life. Anybody want that? No, we don't. So how do we not get that? We don't love ourselves more than we love God. Remember, it hangs on those two things. If you're going to follow all the commandments and all the prophets on those two things, if you love the Lord thy God with the way you're supposed to and treat your neighbor as yourself, God says you got everything else covered. If you can do those two things, everything else is going to work out fine. Everything else is applicable in there somehow, some way. Now, does God know how to count to three? Obviously, if God thought it was important, would have said, hey, you know, love God the right way and love your neighbor the right way and love yourself the right way, He could have done that. But He didn't need to do that. Instead, He says, you need to be careful here. You need to be careful that you're loving Me the right way and not loving yourself so much. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.